What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Crazy, I know. Luis L. Ortiz for the Pirates made a start yesterday. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. 19 whiffs for a gallows pull. Oh my gosh, has he figured it out? Maybe, because he's doing the fun thing of cutters and sliders in the zone, and he had 53 thrown, but 72% strikes on those two pitches. Oh my gosh. There you go. The bane of Ortiz's existence has been strike rate. The sinker has been too bad in the zone. It's been hit too much. Slider wasn't always enough, and this cutter is helping. That's a huge deal for Ortiz. I will admit, the Reds aren't the most intimidating of opponents, and I still really worry that Ortiz's command isn't quite there. However, this is something that could stick around. And it's possible that Ortiz is still in the rotation despite Martin Perez returning, I believe, tomorrow on Friday. So take note of Luis Ortiz. Just know that, hey, look, he has a slider cutter now. Maybe there is something to that. Maybe when Bailey Falter gets traded. Just kidding, guys. I'm just going to really lean into that Bailey Falter getting traded to the Rays thing. Okay. Gavin Stone had a near Maddox, 103 pitches for 0 runs in 9 innings against the White Sox. He was doing all the good things. I mean, yes, there was some blame on the White Sox, just 10 whiffs, 26% CSW. He was getting outs on the field, but he did have 7 strikeouts here. And he had sinkers arm side and sliders glove side and changeups down, and it's exactly what you want. The expanded accordion carrot, for those that do UIUX, of him doing in, out, and down. But, I mean, yeah, this is fantastic for Gavin Stone. Vlad Sedler, giving props that he put out a tweet saying that Gavin Stone was going to be the guy that everyone should be focusing on this year. Same with James Anderson. I wasn't a believer. I really wasn't. I considered him kind of as a Toby, not a high strikeout rate. He certainly improved that. And I still have to push back on any idea that he's going to be more than like a 22% strikeout rate guy. But he's on a winning ball club with the Dodgers. He's pushing up good ratios. It feels like he's the new Tony Gonsolin almost. And that's a cool thing. By the way, if you're in Philadelphia tomorrow, 5 p.m. at the Xfinity Lounge, I'll be there. Just hanging out before the game. You'll meet some special people, and I hope to see you there. So let me know if you're going to be there 5 p.m. Eastern time at the Xfinity Lounge in Philadelphia before we go to the Philadelphia Phillies and Miami Marlins game. Dylan Cease against the Nationals got the win, 7 innings, 0 runs, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, 1 hit. He dominated. It's great. It's so funny to me that he's using curves and sweepers still. They're sub 50% strikes between them. Just throw the cutter. Like, that is obviously the correct answer. And when you're winning, you're doing great. Just throw a cutter. See how it feels. You know, you can't expect to find a proper third pitch if you don't try it more than like 3 times. And you're trying these curves and sweepers. Why? Why throw those? Throw the cutter. I'm telling you, you're going to need it like you did the last 2 starts. I'm glad you didn't need it here. And I should just be happy, I know, but... And look, also, props to Cease for throwing lots of sliders in the zone. I actually think that's a huge, huge deal for him, especially if he throws a cutter there too. And then the four-seamer staying out of the zone and being mostly upstairs. That is 100% always going to work for Cease if he does that, regardless of everything else I just mentioned. The problem is that he doesn't always do that, so who knows. Spencer Arrighetti, my gosh. PL Bot got this right. Yeah, oh, you sly rascal. PL Bot, because Spencer Arrighetti had a terrible start and then a bad start and then another bad start, and it was just like, what is... Ugh. But now he gets Rocky Road and he came through. 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 10 Ks, 13 whiffs, 39% CSW. My gosh, what happened? 4 seamers in the zone. Oh my gosh, what a concept. I actually had a high school basketball coach, Phil Kluger, and what he would say is he would suggest things to us and we would do it once and it worked out. He would shout from the sideline, what a concept, what a concept. But yeah, Arrighetti, good job. 4 seamers in the zone, and that let the secondaries thrive. 65% CSW, not usage, CSW on the curveball. 10 for 35 whiffs on breaking balls in total, including the slider. And there's also 43% CSW changeup. Why? Because he got strikes with the fastball. I really hope it's not just the birthday party and also Blame It on the Rockies and all that kind of stuff. He gets the Jays next. If you want to take a chance, sure. It really does feel like it's a Dennis in that it shows up and doesn't stick around. But I hope it does. He has a good opportunity with the Astros. Urquidy, Javier, and France are all out for the Astros. Three of their expected starting rotation, just gone. Maybe Urquidy, who's Urquidy in France, I guess, of their six, removed. You have Verlander on the IL. That's four now removed. And so you just have Framber and Arrigetti kind of holding down the fort at this point. And Hunter Brown, of course. And then it's just kind of they're figuring it out from there. All I'm trying to say is that Arrigetti has a spot in that rotation. Why can't I remember the other... Oh, Renal Blanco, gosh. And it would be Blasso, but no. That's a weird rotation. All I'm trying to say is that Arrigetti is going to stick around, okay? All right. Matthew Liberatore against Atlanta. Six innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Oh my gosh, Liberatore, he got the gold star. Not Arrigetti, because this was against Atlanta. Got the win. 14 whiffs, 31% CSW, 85 pitches. I was shocked, to say the least. I didn't even know he would go this long. I even suggested this would be a piggyback start, and it wasn't. How did Liberatore do this? He had amazing pitch separation with his four-seamer and a slider, and essentially slider just tunneled off of the four-seamer. Like, it was up in arm side four-seamers and then down in glove side sliders. 10 over 30 whiffs on that slider, and he was hovering 95 miles per hour in the fastball. There you go. That's it. If you can do that again, that'd be great. This is what we saw when he was actually decent. What, the end of 2022? Was that it? I don't remember. It feels like a while ago. Maybe it was just last year. He had those flashes in the pan, and then it was gone. I hope that he sticks around with this one. I don't have any faith that he will. Also, are they going to roll with Liberatore now? Honestly, I would if I'm the Cardinals. I would not go for Palante and do this, because this is clearly legit. You just got to see if that's actually legit, right? Like, he deserved this success more so than Palante has in the past. Okay. Sean Manaea against the Yankees. Man, the Mets are just destroying the Yankees. This was a 12-2 game with a 2-run shot from Judge in like, what, the 8th inning or something? 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 5 walks, and 3 Ks for Manaea. I mean, that's a weird way to make it work, but it did. He's a coin flip against the Nationals. Do what you want to do. I'm not really the biggest fan of Manaea, but I'm glad that's working out for those who have tried. Valente Belazzo, 2 L's, 1 Z once again. Sorry, Govier. Against the Royals, he made his debut for the Marlins. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks. 6 whiffs, 22% CSW. This was like mediocre four-seamers in the zone. And he had random like sweepers and changeups and cutters. Like, this was so mediocre. The Royals just like hit into things and no. Cutter Crawford and Yariel Rodriguez got suspended due to rain. Sorry for the cliffhanger there. That game is going to happen in August or whatever. So I wonder if Cutter Crawford's going to make a start over the weekend. I mean, only threw 23 pitches. He did warm up and everything too. I don't know. Honestly, if I'm Boston, I'm just saying, let's just take some rest here. Okay, let's just relax for a little bit and just go on normal rest moving forward. And Yarod Rodriguez, I mean, honestly, one inning, that's kind of like what he would do anyway. Ha-ha! All right. And then Brady Singer against the Marlins, 7.1 innings of 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Carried himself through 7 innings with a 10-whiff slider. Not many called strikes on the sinker, but the Marlins are the Marlins, and they did not hit the things that they should be able to hit. 17 four-seamers were there too, but just for 53% strikes and only 2 whiffs, and not really a fan of that. George Kirby, ace, is going to ace against the Rays, and Pepio against the Mariners on the other side looked like an ace, 8 Ks and 5.1 innings of 1 run. I should also mention that Kirby's throwing a new curveball that he apparently developed in a bullpen before the game. Okay. I hope that's cool. I hope that's great. I mean, it was a harder slider, really, for 70% plus strikes, and then the fastball stayed elevated, and then that curveball was downstairs. Like, that was great. I hope that sticks around. For Pepio, nearly 20 inches of IVB on that four-seamer. Not like 18 and change, like 19 to 20. Oh my gosh. And you look at it upstairs, 18% swing strike rate, 37% CSW, 52 thrown, everything else is fine. Like, that is Pepio. Thank you so much, Yahoo League 12-teamer, where you guys dropped Pepio and let me get him off of waiver wire. I don't understand how you did. Thank you. We're going to talk about everybody else. Spencer Turnbull, that was disappointing. But we have Joey Estes, and we have Grayson Rodriguez, Ronaldo Lopez, and so many more. Who is Aiden Birdsong? in the heyday of Hayden Wesneski and Birdsong. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. So Spencer Turnbull, just three innings. And this is the most... I ranted inside the roundup because, look, here is the situation. Turnbull, killing it. 1 year deal. What do you got, kid? Oh my gosh, we need some help. And you're just so good right now. Huh. You're only 27. You haven't really been stretched out for a while. You know what? We're going to put a stop to this because we think, no, you are now like a budding ace. So then in the second half, wherever we want to restart you, A, you're going to be just fine. You're going to be exactly the same that you are. And B, that we're going to just avoid any sort of injury, right? And C, the person we're replacing you with, Taijuan Walker, he's going to be totally fine, right? All of those things were wrong. Taijuan Walker was bad. Spencer Turnbull returned and only got three innings where he had right shoulder soreness. Like, why? Bird in the hand is worth like 10 in the bush, okay? We know this. The Phillies flew too close to the sun. And it's absurdly frustrating. Ugh. I hate it. Okay. I hope Spencer Turnbull's fine. I hope it's like they just wanted to nip it in the bud and he'll be back in a week or two. I don't know. Ronzi Contreras against Oakland. Three innings pitched. Nothing to care about there. Tyler Holton opened for Kiedere Montero and allowed five runs in 4.1 innings. He did earn 18 whiffs and 94 pitches, though. Four-seamer and slider combo was something that could be really good, but then he threw like really bad ones in the oh-no fly zone, as I like to call it, in the middle of the plate. Grayson Rodriguez against the Guardians. Seven innings of 200 runs, five hits, zero walks, and four Ks. Got the win. He still struggles a little bit with those secondaries getting down. That's why it's only four Ks. And it's a little frustrating because like you see how this should just be, what am I supposed to do day, right? Like every time. But then he just throws these secondaries that are easier to hit than whiffs. And it's just like, oh, look right there. But anyway, he's going to ace. Like he's still good when he doesn't do that. That's a huge, huge thing. Bryce Elder for this doubleheader came up. Six innings, 200 runs. Good job. Got the loss. Because it was opposite Liberatore. Four hits, zero walks, and four Ks. But sliders were doing a lot of work here. And we probably will see more Elder in the future. But yeah, not now because it's still Schmellenbach as SP5. Joey Estes against the Angels. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, three hits, two walks, and eight Ks. He left with two outs in the sixth, first and second. Okay, he allowed a single, had two strikeouts, and then allowed a walk, and they pulled him at 87 pitches. And this is the curmudgeon in me. I hate this. You gotta let the dude... Come on, it's 5.2 innings. Sure, he just walked him. It's not bases loaded. Like, let him force his way through the inning. You gotta let him develop. You gotta let him fail more than just a walk, right? And no runs had scored yet. But what happens is now you bring in the reliever, walks a batter, hits a batter, allows a double, and both those two runs score now. And am I saying this just because it's 200 runs on the docket and everything? No, I'm annoyed by that just for his sake. I mean, it's still a great line, 5.2 innings, 200 runs, three hits, two walks, eight Ks for Estes. It's just, how do we expect pitchers to be able to go long and to actually not, and to develop the ability to strengthen their arm so that they don't degrade as much if we don't push them? We have to push in order to grow. And I think that 87 pitches and being in that moment of stress, you gotta give them chances to tough it out. You know, we hear about this all the time. Managers get criticized for leaving guys in too long. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And I think it's more beneficial to take the risk. Because let them fail. Let them fail, especially if you're the Oakland Athletics. Just let the guy fail. Maybe he won't. Ugh. Renato Lopez against the Cardinals got the win. Five innings, 200 runs, four hits, four walks, five Ks. If you listen to the Fireside Chat with me and Paul Spohr, you will probably have noticed that Renato Lopez was supposed to be against Paul Skeens this weekend as we made our game of the day matchup. And we joked that something was going to happen for Raylo not to make two starts. And what do you know is the rain out that pushed them to Wednesday's game, which means he no longer has it. This was not the prettiest game of Raylo, but I mean, it was four-seamer slider separated with too much meeting in the middle. That's what happens. He's going to regress a little bit from that 1.5 ERA, whatever he has. We know that. It's fine. He's still going to be very productive for you, and that's great. Carlos Carrasco against the Orioles. Five innings of 200 runs. Honestly, solid fight. Good job. He probably gets displaced by Gavin Williams. So we move on. And anyway, you don't really care for Carlos Carrasco. Semien Woods-Richardson came through if you streamed him because he did get the win in 5.1 innings. 300 runs, one more than you want, fine. But six base runners, four Ks, that's okay. Good slider, terrible changeup, and Tigers are next week, and I guess that's fine. It's okay. He's dancing with the disco. That is throwing sliders over the plate and getting away with them. Hayden Birdsong. Okay. How do you feel, Nick, about Hayden Birdsong? Well, I love the fact that he throws hard. That's a good thing. 90 is actually what I predicted. Huge thanks to Eno for giving me a shout out on Twitter after we talked about him on The Craft. By the way, go check out that podcast. It should be out by now. That Hayden Birdsong was going to, who sat like 95, 96 in the minors, was going to hit 98, sit like 97, which he did. Because his MLB debut, and we're going to go, oh my gosh, look at that velocity, wow. But he's going to walk some guys, he's going to struggle a little bit, like 5.2 innings, 301 sixes, three walks and five Ks, and I just don't really want to do it. And that's what we got. He has a really steep attack angle, like 0.3. And if you remember, like 1.0 is the middle. So if you see like 0.7, I'm like, oh, it's steeper than we want. 0.3 means that he's really helping them out at the top of the zone, which is weird because you throw hard and to combat faster bat speeds at the bottom of the zone, you want to throw up. That means less reaction time, right? So it's kind of weird. You're giving them more chances for contact, but you're also giving them less reaction time. I don't know. The IVB that we had last night was different. It was initially around 12 or so, and now it's back to like 15. I got to figure that one out. But I don't really think it's like elite IVB or anything like that. Extensions, whatever. I don't really want to go for Hayden Birdsong. I just don't think the secondaries are that good either. Watching it just felt, ugh. There's also a lot of twitch to him. That is, it's a very slow thing and a lot of movement very quickly with his body to get that velocity. I love guys that kind of gradually go in churn as opposed to the big whip at the end, and I don't like that from Hayden. Birdsong, but Hayden Wisniewski on the other side got 7 strikeouts in 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 72 pitches. We kind of didn't really expect expected a kind of length for Wisniewski, 4 innings or so. 7 Ks are great, the sweeper is really good, but nothing else is. And he got his strikeouts like right on the edge, which is really nice, but also, I don't know, it's not like pure dominance in the zone or something, right? And this start was to let Shota Imanaga get an extra day of rest after allowing 10 earned runs. So, yeah, we are going to move on from Wisniewski. He shouldn't be starting again soon. Eric Fetty against the Dodgers survived as best as he could. At least he gave you a 1-whiff, 4 runs in 6 innings, and we move on. He's a Toby against the Guardians. Ryan Feltner, absolutely not. Kyle Gibson got Atlanta. I don't know why he threw just 12 sweepers, and everything else was bad, but whatever. Because the Pirates next are going to start him there because he's a Toby. DJ Hurz had 13 strikeouts, and then he went against the Padres, and it was 1 strikeout. And also the Rockies game wasn't very good. The changeup isn't as good as it was before. Fastball can be located really well and be effective, but yeah, no. DJ Hurz, you don't need to go for. Nathan Eovaldi against the Brewers, 7 innings of 5 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Honestly, he threw a lot of mediocre pitches. He just had a bad inning of 4 runs, but really, like, overall wasn't the sharpest version of Nathan Eovaldi. 2 home runs. It's just, nah. We move on. He's going to be startable, of course. Dallas Keuchel showed up. Wow. That's a wild thing. He tried to do the neckbeard approach. Couldn't do it. So, yeah, there you go. Graham Ashcraft. Hey, could you steal a thing or two from Luis Ortiz as he threw sliders and cutters and sinkers effectively. Well, again, Graham Ashcraft didn't. So, welcome back. But, yeah, nope, not it. And Ryan Nelson, he did get a 38% CSW for him, but he threw so many pitches down the pipe, and that was that. And last but not least is Luis Gil. 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. Man, the Mets are just destroying the Yankees. Luis Gil, maybe this was weather was an impact. It felt like the weather just kind of showed up, but maybe I'm wrong there. He could not locate the heater. He just couldn't do it. Everything was up with the slider and changeup. Like, this was actually the bad one. The Orioles one was just the Orioles, like, just jumping on him. Fine. That was more of an approach thing. If he did that same thing against the Mets, I think he would have been great in this start. This was just bad locations. And the first true regression start, in my view, of Luis Gil's command skill from beginning of the year. So now we see the adversity, right? Luis Gil became the thing. Now he's in the valley. At some point, he comes back up. I don't know when it's going to be. I hope it's next start. But I think when he does that, we're just going to be completely sold on Luis Gil moving forward. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. We have a few changes. We have Davis Daniel going against the Tigers. I don't really want to do that. We have Chad Kuhl against Atlanta. Don't want to do that. Miles Michaelis is going today, not tomorrow. Andre Pallante is not going today now. And he goes against the Reds. He's in the questionable start tier by Barrios and John Gray. So make sure that Miles Michaelis is in your lineup. Andrew Thorpe, Zach Plesac, and Andre Pallante are not going today. They are going tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow's games, we have Logan Gilbert, Ronel Blanco, Bailey Ober, Christopher Sanchez in that top tier. Zach Eflin, Logan Webb against the Dodgers. Nick Pivetta, Marcus Stroman, Mitchell Parker getting the Rays, and Landon Knack against the Giants are on the probable start tier. Landon Knack being my stream pick of the day. It's against the Giants. He's showcased he can go five innings of just being good enough and getting a win, right? Cool. Questionable start tier is Drew Thorpe, not against Atlanta, but against Rocky Road. That actually seems pretty good. I don't know if the changeup is going to be there and if the ceiling is good enough to justify if the changeup is not there, but he does get Rocky Road. That I actually do prefer, believe it or not, over a big name like Max Scherzer, who's on the other side of the spectrum of, hey, not getting many innings in his last many pitches, and also getting a bad matchup against the Orioles. It is in Baltimore, which is helpful. He's a righty, not a lefty, but still, that scares me also. Yeah, 52 pitches, 57 pitches, whatever it was for Scherzer, not 60, which means we're not going to see like 85 to 90 here. And it's just the ceiling isn't as high. Also, is the quality of Scherzer that good right now? I don't know. The other stuff here is not very, I mean, it's all questionable, of course. You have like Charlie Morton against the Pirates. He's a cherry bomb. Yusei Kikuchi against the Yankees. Oh, it's unfortunate it's the Yankees because the slider returned. The four-seamer didn't as far as location goes. I really hope we get that four-seamer location back with that slider. The Yankees are the Yankees. I mean, the Mets just messed them up. Who knows? Jose Quintana against the Astros. He just had his best command of the year. I dig that a ton, but it's the Astros. Why does it have to be the Astros? Albert Suarez gets the Rangers. Rangers aren't so tough these days, and Albert Suarez could maybe squeeze a win here, especially considering that Max Scherzer isn't going to go very deep in this one. You have Jameson Taillon. He just had 10 strikeouts, but it's the Brewers, so I don't know. Alec Marsh against the Guardians. Alec Marsh is decent. I debated putting him in do not start, but yeah. Do not start tier, speaking of which, Andre Pallante against the Reds. On the other side is Frankie Montas against the Cardinals. Both are, ugh. I don't think the ceiling is high enough. Same with Kenta Maeda, even though against the Angels, the floor is bad, as we know. Slade Sassone against Oakland, whatever. Colin Ray against the Cubs, whatever. JP Sears against Arizona has just been really bad lately, so I don't want to chase that one. Tristan McKenzie against the Royals is really seeing all the regression, just not coming through. Zach Plesac against the Tigers, no. Randy Vasquez did well last time, but at Fenway, no thank you. Dakota Hudson, I don't care, it's against the White Sox. Maybe he gets like the breakers and sinkers into gloves, but no. Martin Perez is returning from the IL to still ill against Atlanta. Absolutely not. And Kyle Tyler for the Marlins. Yeah, no, you don't even know who that is, really, and that's fine. He goes against the Phillies. You don't want to do that. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.